Welcome to the Fantasy Nerd Work. I am your host, Ethan King, and this is the first episode of what I hope is going to be a really long and fun series for me to do. As far as for right now, I'm doing it completely by myself. Maybe, you know, we'll bring some other faces in the future. But for now, you got me. Like I said, this is the first episode of the series, so obviously there's nobody here knows about me or what I am. Giant fantasy football head. Anybody that I ever bring onto this show, giant fantasy football heads. Specifically, dynasty football is probably more of what I'm catering. Not even probably, it is more of what I'm catering this channel to. Dynasty football is the way to play, so they say. As you read by the title, probably why you clicked on the video. We are going to be doing five fantasy football sleepers for this upcoming 2025 season. Now, I would like to start by prefacing, I will not be including any rookies into this video, only certified veterans or people who at least have playing experience under their belts. I do have an honorable mention list of rookies, though, because I know it's post-draft season, we're getting into OTAs and training camps. All anybody really cares about right now are rookies as is, so I do have you with a list of honorable mention rookies that probably would have made this list had I not, you know, excluded rookies. I will say, within the next couple of days, I will be releasing a video where I'm highlighting stashes for Dynasty Football. Rookies that, you know, may not be too into the mix their rookie year, but who I think are worth a stash going forward. So, yeah, I mean, really, without saying anything else, I mean, if you want to take a look over, I guess y'all are actually looking at it, the overlay. On the screen, in the box that's under me, I'll be showing footage of the players. You won't have to look at the two greatest players in the history of football the entire video, I promise. And then to the left of me, we've got the Daily Risers and the Daily Fallers, according to Sleeper, the best way to play fantasy football. Simply no better app than Sleeper out there. What they let you do is relatively unmatched. So now, the standard format that we're going to be following is, I mean, pretty average. 1 QB, PPR. I don't personally play Superflex, but I will give advice for Superflex leagues as well. I am in a couple Superflex leagues, but it's, as far as my main league that I pay, you know, the most love and attention to, it's a 1 QB league. But yeah, we're going to go 1 QB, full PPR, no tight end premium. But like I said, when we get to a certain player where a super flex aspect or a tight end premium does come in, I will give alternative opinions that do also fit the 2 QB super flex tight end premium molds. So first, real quick, I'm going to run through my rookie honorable mentions that I talked about in the beginning of the video. And I've got five of them here as far as rookie honorable mentions are concerned. I've also got five main players, as you saw in the title of the video. Our five rookie fantasy sleepers. And you could argue that, you know, nobody on this list is a sleeper, but it's guys that really aren't going to be too expensive for you to acquire. Other than the first guy I have on the list, Jaden Higgins, I think he has the best chance out of the rookie wide receivers to be impactful on day one. You can make the argument for Matthew Golden or Trey Harris. Trey Harris just barely made it off the list just because I have not been fond of what I've seen of him in OTA footage. Jaden Higgins is going to be my first one. Kyle Williams, kind of the same reason. Both rooms are pretty much wide open for the most part right now. They both got injury-prone receivers who are entering contract years. It's actually a lie because I think they gave Stephon Diggs 3 years. I just can't remember if this year is the only year guaranteed. So I'll have to fact-check myself on that. Either way, though, both rooms are relatively wide open. Obviously, with Houston, we've got the Tank Dell injury, and then not a lot behind him. If we're being completely honest, they did acquire Christian Kirk this offseason, but it's Christian Kirk in 2025, and he is on a one-year deal, so I'm not putting too much stock into Christian Kirk overtaking Jaden Higgins as far as snaps are concerned. Same with Kyle Williams. I mean, really, Stephon Diggs is the biggest competition there, but Kyle Williams is significantly younger, and if he looks like he can be a relatively productive target for Drake May early, I think that he will kind of grab that brass and not let go of it sooner rather than later. I've also got Chimiri DK on this. I would say as far as day one potential of those three, I'm definitely the lowest on Chimera DK. Same deal, though, wide open room. Only issue with Chimera that I get, though, is rookie QB. We don't really know what's going to be going on inside of that offense. Last two honorable mentions I have are Jarquez Hunter and Jacory Kroski-Merritt. Those are two players that I am going to go much, much, much deeper into depth on in a future video here in the next couple of days. But I'll leave it pretty short and sweet with them right now. Jarquez Hunter, stud at Auburn. Sean McVay, almost said Sean Payton. Sean McVay traded a day two pick next year and their fourth rounder this year to move up to get him. And he sounds super excited about what he's got in him. Kyren Williams entering the last year of his deal with a somewhat sour injury history. While he doesn't maybe miss as many games, he does enter pretty much every week on the injury report. Jarquez Hunter could be a guy to look at to take over that backfield after this year, similar to maybe a Rashad White, Bucky Irving situation. Granted, Kyren Williams is much better at football than Rashad White was. And then Jacory Kroski-Merritt, I want to say all-time leading rusher at New Mexico State. He's not far off if he didn't actually get it. Transferred to Arizona and played one game where he exploded. He looked like an absolute stud, and then the NCAA ruled that he was not eligible to play. I think Jacory Kroski-Merritt would have been a day two pick. Early day three had he been able to play out the whole year. I mean, this kid is a stud, and he went to a running back room in Washington that the competition is very few and far between. You've got Austin Ekeler, who is getting up there in age and just did not look like the Austin Ekeler that we know last year. And then Brian Robinson, who just doesn't fit the mold of a starting NFL running back anymore. So those are my five honorable mentions as far as rookies, since we are not including rookies into this video. Now let us get into the main five players. All right, our very first player on the list today is going to be Jordan Mason. Obviously, he is a name that everybody knows. So it all depends on what you classify as a sleeper. I would say that nobody typically on this list I would classify as a sleeper. I mean, there's room for variance, of course. But a lot of these videos are made for people who aren't very tuned in to fantasy football, who don't spend a lot of time studying fantasy football, and are looking for answers from people who do. And Jordan Mason is one of those names that a casual fantasy football fan may look at and not bat an eye at, but I think that that is a serious, serious mistake for a ton of reasons. Right now, his current ADP is at 103. Now, like I said, this is mainly a dynasty channel, but I will cover ADPs because ADPs are important to gauge a player's value. At ADP 103, depending on how many players are in your league, if you're in a 10-player league, you're looking at taking Jordan Mason early in the 10th round, 12-player league, somewhere in the 7th to 8th round, depending on if you kind of want to reach on him or if he falls. And I can see him falling much, much, much farther than that. He's currently rated at the RB34 in ADP. I don't think there are... obviously there are running backs much better than him in the NFL, but I don't think that you can name me 33 running backs better than him. My relative ADP on him is probably roughly in the 26-27 range. 34 obviously isn't too far off of where I have Jordan Mason, but I think the situation is what's scaring a lot of people off from him overall. He gets traded to Minnesota, and he looks like he's going to be a backup to Aaron Jones. The problem with that consensus and thinking, though, is that Aaron Jones is older. He has significant injury history. Over the last 2 years, he has dealt with, I want to say, his MCL, his hamstring, and quad injuries, along with hips and ribs. Obviously, not all of those things are repetitive. Soft tissue injuries tend to be a little bit less repetitive than some of the more major, like breaking a rib, breaking a hip, and that varies per player. But lower body injuries are what we want to look at there. So even though he may have a soft tissue injury history, if that soft tissue injury is in the MCL or in the hamstring, those are things that I'm going to worry about. Though, Aaron Jones did play a full schedule last year, which I don't think very many people expected out of him. I do not expect him to go two straight seasons of playing a full schedule. Jordan Mason last season was the RB1 in San Francisco for roughly about the first 7 weeks of the season, really the first eight, but in week eight he got hurt, so I'm not attributing these numbers to that week eight performance due to him getting hurt in that game. So we're looking at weeks 1 through 7 of him as the running back one in San Francisco. He was a top six running back the first 5 weeks of the season. A top six finish of all running backs. Weeks 1 through 7, he averaged 14.47 points per game. And that's, I mean, that is low-end RB1, high-end RB2 numbers that you're getting out of a guy like that. He's obviously not going to be the quickest player on the field. He's not going to break away 70-yard touchdowns. He definitely has the ability to. Granted, that clip that just showed under me makes him look like he could scoot, because he can. But he's also a 5'11 bruiser back who has no problem putting his shoulder pads down into somebody and plowing through you. And that's a role that he excels at. But his combination of speed and bruiser makes him an issue for defenses that I really, really think Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings are going to find a way to utilize, especially if Aaron Jones is not able to stay on the field. You look at his yards per carry numbers as well. 5.16 yards per carry last year, tied for the lowest in his career. 5.16 yards per carry last year and the year before, 6 yards per carry as a rookie. The sample size is small, admittedly. But yards per carry numbers typically tend to not lie because it's on a per-touch basis. If he is productive per-touch, yes, he's going to wear down, he's going to get tired, and it may suffer when he gets into the 20 to 25 touch range. But Jordan Mason isn't a guy who's going to get 20 to 25 touches out of the backfield. He's going to get 12 to 16 touches out of the backfield and 5 to 7 targets out of the backfield. Granted, Aaron Jones, I will say, and this is why I am so big on Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones not having a repeat season. Aaron Jones almost rushed for 1,200 yards last year. He rushed for 1,138 yards last year and 5 touchdowns. Didn't miss a game, and his yards per carry looked good, over 4 yards per carry. As a 30-year-old running back, I believe going to be 31 going into next year, if I'm not mistaken, that's not production that guys named Derrick Henry can keep up. So for that reason, I have Jordan Mason as one of my biggest sleepers going into this season, and I think he's going to be an incredible grab at his current ADP, but if we're also talking Dynasty, as this channel is, a very, very, very cheap pickup. Rookie draft, maybe a combination of 2 third-round picks for an owner who just wants to unload the roster spot. All right, our next man up is the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, former number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence. Current ADP is sitting at 132, lower than Jordan Mason's. Granted, we are looking at 1QB PPR leagues. It is going to be slightly higher in Superflex and 2QB leagues. His ADP in 2QB leagues, though, isn't that high. We're looking at an ADP in the low 40s to mid 50s for a quarterback in Superflex. He's at QB 20 right now in standard 1QB PPR ADP. People are really down on Trevor Lawrence, and I completely understand why. He hasn't looked good the last two seasons, obviously got hurt this past year. He only played in 10 games. In his 10 games that he played, though, he still finished as QB 27. There are 5 other starting quarterbacks in the NFL that he finished better than. And granted, injury variance does take a toll on that. Of course, I do completely understand. QB 27 in only 10 games, though, he was on pace for a roughly in the QB 17, QB 18 range. Back in 2022, his sophomore season, he finished as the QB 8. And that is before a lot of the issues in Jacksonville really started to take off. Last year, I mean, his ADP just struggles from a bad situation if at the end of the day. And like I said, ADP doesn't really mean the most in the world. I mean, you look at a guy, if you like him, you're going to take him, you're going to trade for him, whatever. I think Trevor Lawrence is one of those guys that absolutely needs to have a second look taken at him. Obviously, they traded the 5th pick in the draft to move up to 2. Selected Travis Hunter, who I think is going to be an incredible grab, obviously. Myself, I play in an IDP league, and I got the pleasure of drafting him at 103, so I'm very, very happy about that. But you look at the Jags last year, pretty awful O-line, the defense struggled, and really just poor receiver play from everybody not named Brian Thomas, who looked like an absolute stud. They've upgraded the O-line, they've upgraded the defense, and they added Travis Hunter to this wide receiver room. All signs point to yes for this Jaguars offense. The defense does still have questions of its own. But for the offense, I mean, all signs point to yes of this being a very efficient, very high-powered, especially in the passing volume. We'll cover Travis Etienne here in a minute. As a Travis Etienne holder myself, I am staying up on him, but I did leave him out of this video just because Travis Etienne is a hard case to advocate for at the current moment. Trevor Lawrence just hasn't been really able to stay healthy. And obviously at the end of the day, availability is the best ability, but he's still got one of the best arms in the NFL, in my opinion. He just needs to be able to put it together. And I think that's something that Liam Cohen is going to be able to do for him. You look at what Baker did, in Los Angeles and in Tampa Bay. Now, Liam Cohen was the offensive coordinator for both that LA Rams team that Baker was on for however many games that was. And he was the offensive coordinator for Tampa Bay. He's actually the whole reason that Baker Mayfield even signed there. So you could call Liam Cohen something of a quarterback guru, obviously. You look at the situation that Liam Cohen as a coach is coming into. You've got probably one of the best young wide receiver duos in the league. And still a young quarterback who has untapped potential that I think that he will be able to get onto, you know, like he did with Baker. Looking at some of the numbers for Baker and Trevor Lawrence, like comparatively, pre-Liam Cohen is an important note on this metric. All of these numbers that I'm about to read are before being coached by Liam Cohen for both for Trevor and Baker. 63.4% completion percentage for Trevor Lawrence, 61.9% for Baker Mayfield, 6.8 yards per attempt for Lawrence, 7.2 for Baker, 3.4% touchdown rating for Lawrence, 4.6% touchdown rating for Baker, 2.3% turnover ratio for Lawrence, 2.6 for Baker, and then an 85 passer rating to an 88.1 passer rating for Baker. Obviously, I'm not saying that Trevor Lawrence is Baker Mayfield, nor do they play remotely similar or any similar quarterbacks in really any way. I mean, they're both really good gunslingers, but I mean, that's about it. But you look at what I'm getting from these numbers are two quarterbacks who were drafted to be the franchise guy and haven't completely lived up to expectations after really one good season, prospectively. The numbers are very similar, and now they're both going to be having the same coach, not at the same time, obviously, but Trevor Lawrence is getting a coach who broke Baker Mayfield out of that mold. And like I said, I don't think that they're the same player whatsoever. What I do think, though, is that just following the numbers and looking at the trajectory of Baker pre-Cohen versus post-Cohen, they're fixable numbers. And obviously, half of it does boil down to the intangibles of the player, but I do think that, I mean, even going back to college, Trevor Lawrence is a competitor, and he does have the intangibles to be a star quarterback in the NFL. He's just got to put it together. So looking at those numbers, they all look like numbers that Liam Cohen is going to be able to fix. I expect a top 12 finish for Trevor Lawrence this year. Low end QB 15, but as high seriously as top 12. Now, I know I rambled on about the first two a little bit. The next two, I don't have a lot of rambling to do because while, like I said previously, they are sleepers, they're sleepers for the casual Dynasty Fantasy Football fans, not for the people who are very tapped into it. So Rashid Shaheed is the next player up on our list. Who dat? Big Saints fan. But I promise this isn't biased. Now, I will say I do actually feel a little bit more biased to Rashid Shaheed in my personal league than probably a lot of other people do in their leagues. The reason for that is, though, is in my personal league, as I said, we do play in an IDP, but we also count punt and return yards. So anything that happens on returning yards, you get points for. So obviously, I have Rashid Shaheed counting these factors a lot bigger than the standard 1QB PPR ADP has him. I've got him more in like ADP 45, wide receiver 27, maybe. He's going to be a stud this year if you follow that format. But if you don't, ADP 110, wide receiver 53 and 1 QB PPR. Ended last season in week 6 due to a meniscus injury, but he looked really, really good and looked like he was on pace for a breakout season. Averaged 17.5 yards per catch and a little bit, I believe it was 18.2 yards per attempt. Which is good numbers for a guy like Rashid Shaheed, who was really, that was his first year stepping into the two mold in that offense. And then the quarterback play was so shaky that it wasn't the worst situation in the world for Rashid Shaheed. And I think going into this next season, it's only going to get better. The wide receiver room really made no additions this free agency. They retained A.T. Perry, they retained Bub Means, and then they brought in Brandon Cooks. But I don't think Brandon Cooks is going to take that significant of a target share from Rashid Shaheed or Chris Olave. I think both are solidified into the offense as the one and the two, and Brandon Cooks will be a complimentary deep threat to take some of that pressure off of Shaheed and Olave. I realistically, I have Shaheed in the mid-end wide receiver two to high-end wide receiver two upside. I'm really, really, really banking on a Rashid Shaheed breakout this season, and I think it's going to happen, seriously. Like, I think we are looking at 1,000-plus yards for Rashid Shaheed. The touchdown numbers are very, very up in the air just because of the kind of player that he is. The deep threat, kind of the Jameson Williams-style player. But I very well see him crossing over 1,000 yards this season and him being someone that absolutely will need to be looked at in PPR formats that play 3 to 4 QBs. I think the biggest thing with Rashid Shaheed overall, too, is that he's a safety blanket for his quarterback. Whether he's running a drag underneath or a go over the top, he finds a way to be open. As you can see in this clip, he's just floating over the back of the defense, but he's so quick that you can't catch him. So while everyone's guarding Foster Moreau, Juwan Johnson, Chris Olave over the middle and the intermediate routes, well, out of nowhere, Rashid Shaheed is down there in the back of the end zone. Whoever the Saints starting quarterback is, realistically, probably Tyler Shuck. Tyler Shuck has a big arm, and that big arm could find Rashid Shaheed open a lot more often than people are expecting. All right, fourth player on the list, and this is where I'm coming from, where I'm saying that not everyone on the list is a super, super, super deep sleeper. But he might be a guy that not a lot of people are really looking at if they're not super, super tapped in. We got Tucker Kraft. And this ADP is based on non-tight end premium. But his ADP in tight end premiums isn't much better. Looking at Tucker Kraft at an ADP of 131 or at the tight end 13. This is a guy who finished tight end 10 last year. Tight end 10. He completely took over the starting job from Luke Musgrave. Obviously, Luke Musgrave had significantly better draft capital than Tucker Kraft did, and Tucker Kraft has still basically forced his way into a starting role and really being the only tight end that is given a target share in this offense. Last season, he finished with the most receiving yards by a Green Bay tight end in over a decade. I mean, that is big numbers from an offense that is typically very, very high-powered, at least historically. I would say the biggest thing that Tucker Kraft really needs to work on to really break out in fantasy and move from sleeper to upper echelon quality tight end is going to be just increasing his target share, which obviously he doesn't get to make that decision, but I think the additions of Matthew Golden honestly should help. We're going to be taking away a lot of the premier coverage and putting it on this rookie. It's going to be going on Jaden Reed, two legitimate, hopefully legitimate receivers going into next year. That should leave Tucker Kraft's target share significantly higher than it was last year. But his current production with the targets that he's getting now, I mean, it signals a breakout is coming any season now. I mean, you look at last season, 70 targets with 50 receptions, 707 yards, 5 touchdowns. Tight end 10. Very, very solid numbers. don't expect him to be Brock Bowers. Don't expect him to be Trey McBride, George Kittle. I mean, those are the top three. That's the upper echelon of fantasy tight ends at the moment. But, I mean, expect him to finish in a range where if you have him on your team, you're going to have no problem hopefully competing for a championship. If, let's say the worst player in your starting roster is Tucker Kraft, you're in a significantly better situation than most other fantasy football players are. I expect another top 10 finish from Tucker Kraft after next season. But I mean, realistically, like, I would personally say he's got a possible top 5 tight end finish, minimum top 10 though. All right, and the last fantasy football sleeper I have for you going into the 2025 fantasy football season is going to be Zach Charbonnet. Personally, I think his ADP right now is, I mean, quite frankly, just disrespectful. You're looking at an ADP of 112 or RB 36. That's lower than Jordan Mason's. And Zach Charbonnet has been significantly productive as a backup his first 2 years in the league. There's no reason whatsoever that his ADP should be as low as it is, other than the fact that Kenneth Walker is in front of him. And at this point, I don't even think Kenneth Walker is really in front of him. Like I said earlier, availability is the best ability when it comes to football, especially fantasy football. Kenneth Walker is a chalk to be on the injury report every single week. I can't remember off the top of my head how many games he missed last year, but it was significant enough to the point where, yes, Kenneth Walker last year averaged 16 or 17 PPR points per game. But when you only play in 10 games, how useful is 16 points per game? Obviously, when he's playing, it's an incredible thing to have as like that mid-end RB1. But he can't stay healthy. He hasn't cleared 1,000 yards since his rookie year. And he's in a contract year where if he can't stay healthy, I see zero reason that the Seahawks are going to commit to him long-term and giving him long-term money. Which is going to leave Zach Charbonnet this year more than likely an increased role, giving the Seahawks a chance to see if they can trust him with that workload. They used a day 2 pick on him. I think Zach Charbonnet is in for a massive year. Like I said, Kenneth Walker, contract year, hasn't really been able to stay healthy or stay on the field. And even when he is on the field, he's typically dealing with an injury report tag almost every week. Zach Charbonnet, on the other hand, he's only missed one game in his career. He missed one game his rookie year. He played all 17 last year. And if things stay the same as far as his health, Kenneth Walker's health, and Zach Charbonnet's just overall solid production, high yard per carry, and on a per-touch basis, you could see, like I said, I think we could see an increased volume in Zach Charbonnet. With Seattle possibly wanting to test the waters to see if this can be their guy and to move on from the Kenneth Walker experiment. Because, I mean, as good as Kenneth Walker is, talent-wise, I don't think anybody's denying that he is one of the best backs in the NFL. He hasn't been able to put it together as far as a health aspect and staying on the field and then keeping it productive week in and week out. Zach Charbonnet saw 8 touchdowns last year and ended up getting a significant chunk of the red zone work in this running offense, in the red zone, obviously, with what red zone work would mean. I don't see that changing. You got a guy who's efficient in the red zone, you don't teeter from that because the red zone's one of the hardest areas on the field to move in. So with Zach Charbonnet being as efficient as he is in the red zone, he's a 3-down bruiser type of back who just needs to get 3-down bruiser type of volume. And I do think that there's a very, very solid chance that we see Zach Charbonnet get that volume this year. 6'1", 214. I mean, he doesn't exactly have breakaway speed. You can look at the video right under us. Like, he's got a step, but he does typically tend to get chased down. He does have clips where, I mean, he scoots, man. He does scoot. But that 6'1", 214 frame, with the mix of speed that he has and the bruiser back type of mentality, I mean, he is not the quickest guy in the world, but he is shifty. He is extremely shifty. He will juke you out. He will fake you out. He just might not take it all the way. But you don't always need that to happen. 20, 30 yards is just as good as 50, 60, other than the fact that you're probably not getting the touchdown out of it immediately. But if you've got a guy who can break those away with that combination of speed, size, and power, I think Zach Charbonnet is probably going to get one of the heavier workloads of an RB2 that we're going to see this year, similar to how I kind of feel about Jordan Mason. I think if Walker struggles to stay healthy, I mean, we could really see Charbonnet emerge himself into the RB1 role and serve as a high-end fantasy RB2 or even a low-end fantasy RB1, just depending on what your roster needs. And that's it. That's all I've got for this episode of Five Fantasy Sleepers. We will be back with five players to avoid here in the next couple of days. I'm going to be very excited to do that one because I got a lot of players I am looking to stay away from. If you have any comments or any opinions on anything I said, leave them down below. I will definitely take all of them into consideration, for sure. Every single last one of them. I won't say that you're wrong and that I'm right, even though I am. If you like the advice, though, drop a follow. I mean, like I said, brand new show, brand new channel. I'd like to see, you know, some of that volume, like I was talking about with Zach Charbonnet, be funneled into that subscribe button. So I do appreciate it, and I will see you on the next episode of Fantasy Nerd Work. I appreciate it. Thank you.